This is Alive with Joseph.
Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Let's read the word of God still standing. Let's quickly get into scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. I read it says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Walk up to five people on my behalf this morning. Please reach out to them. Ask them that question. Are you on a mission for God? Are you on a mission? Loan me your voice and ask them that question. Are you on a mission for God? Now you go ahead and give Jesus your praise. Amen. Please, you may be seated. This morning we're opening up a series titled The Power of Generosity. And on it, I'm looking at what I titled, I Am on a Mission for God, or I Am on a Mission. Now, I believe that God will use this series to do great things in our life, because this series is going to be enlightening and at the same time revelatory. So in this series, we're going to be looking at a whole lot of things. We'll be looking at what Jesus has to say about your money. How is money relevant in our relationship with God? We're also going to look at how to be a good steward of the many manifold grace of God that he has given to us, especially in the area of money. And also, we're going to be looking at how to escape the temptation and the trap of serving money instead of serving God. Because we live in a time where many are serving money instead of serving God. We're going to look at how do you escape the stronghold of greed. And also, how do you escape the love of money that opens up the door to evil and all kinds of satanic things. We're going to be looking at how do you live a fulfilled life with or without money. And also gaining the right perspective to money and you understanding that your life is on a mission. So let's look at money on a mission, or I am on a mission, or I'm on a mission for God. Let me ask you this morning, are you on a mission for God? Are you on a mission for God? Do you have a mission that God has given to you that you are on about? So I'm asking you, are you on a mission for God? Friends, you have to be on a mission for God for your money to be on a mission with you. If you're not on a mission for God, it will be very difficult for your money to be on a mission for God. So from our text, we have already seen clearly how good the Apostle Paul is showing to us that God has a purpose for every increase that comes to our life. God has a purpose for every increase he brings to our life. God, the Bible is showing us here that God has purpose for every provision he brings into our life. That is to say, God is able to make all grace and earthly favor come to you and I in abundance, that you will always have under all circumstances, regardless of the need. You will always have. So the Apostle Paul emphasized that God wants you and I to be self-sufficient. That you having an abundance is of God. So he emphasized that God wants you and I to have abundance. That is to say, you are having an abundance for every good work and charitable donations. God wants you and I to have abundance for every good work and charitable donations. So understand that the purpose of God for provision in your life is beyond survival. The purpose of God for provision in your life is beyond survival. Our text is not talking about survival here. Rather, our text is talking about sufficiency and abundance. Talking about sufficiency and abundance. The purpose of God's provision for your life is for you to go beyond survival. The reason why God brings provision in our lives is so that we can go beyond survival. And the challenge comes when people start going from not enough into more than enough. If they do not heed to divine instructions, they will start deviating from God's original intention for the more than enough he brings into their life. They will start deviating. And the Bible makes it clear that the reason God brings provision in our lives is so that you and I can be on this mission on the earth so that we can be on his mission on this planet earth, helping him to spread the fragrance of his wisdom all through the planet earth. Amen. So the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 17 to 18 says this. I read it, says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which is swore to your fathers as it is this day. Now the context of this story here was when God was speaking to his people Israel, he began to tell them, as they are about to come into, you know, the promised land that he has given to them, he began to remind them that, you know, they are depending on him now to take them to the promised land, but they must understand that when they get to the promised land, they must still depend on him. They must not get to the promised land and begin to think now that they are in the promised land, it is their power that has given them whatever it is that they have possessed. So he was reminding them that I'm about to bring you into what, when eyes, anyone around you sees it, they will be amazed, they will be shocked. I'm about to bring increase into your life that people never thought you will ever have, based on their calculation of you. They have already concluded that certain level of increase can never come to you. I'm about to bring such increase into your life, but when you come into that increase, he said to them, they should not forget that he will help them to prosper. He will help them to receive wealth. But they must not forget that he was the one who gave them whatever it is that they have possessed. I pray for you today. May you not forget where God brought you from, in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. May you not forget that it is God who has given you whatever it is that you own, in the name of Jesus. May you not forget how far God has brought you, in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So he began to say to them that they should not forget. They should never forget that he is the one who gave them the power to get wealth. So understand, friends, that God's purpose for abundance and wealth in our lives is to establish his covenant. And he said that they must understand that he is doing that to establish his covenant that he has promised to his friend Abraham. That is to say, the purpose of God's, you know, wealth and abundance is to establish his covenant which he has promised. God's purpose for, you know, for abundance and wealth in our lives is to demonstrate his faithfulness and to also confirm the word he gave to our father in the faith, Abraham. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to Abraham and said to him, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then you and I, Paul now writes to us in Galatians chapter 3, showing to us how you and I are connected to Abraham, that makes us recipients of this blessing that God, you know, gave to Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 to 29, I read, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Then verse 29, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. So Paul is saying to you and I here that anyone in Christ is connected to Abraham. And God says to Abraham, I will prosper you as I will prosper you. I will make your name great, and through you the families of the earth will be blessed. So God is now saying to you and I that now that you are in Christ, now that you are in Christ, who is Abraham's seed. Remember, Isaac is not the seed the Bible is talking, God was talking about. Jesus is that seed God was talking about. Now that you are in Christ, who is Abraham's seed, God is now saying, I'm extending the same prosperity to your life. I'm going to prosper you as I promised Abraham, so that my word will be confirmed, which I gave to him. The word I gave to him will be confirmed. So God is saying, I'm going to give you the power to get wealth, that I may fulfill my promise that I've made to your father of faith, Abraham. I may establish the covenant I made with him, the agreement I made with him. I want to show to Abraham that I am the one who keeps to my words, that I don't change. I'm not like a man. I don't move like a shifting shadow, that I keep to my word. If I say it, I will do it. So God is saying, the reason I'll bless you is because I've already made a commitment to my friend Abraham, and because of that commitment I've made to him, I'm going to make sure that your life experiences abundance. And I pray for you in the name of our Lord Jesus, in this second half of the year, you will experience abundance in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear you loud as amen. You will experience abundance in the name of Jesus. Your days of lack are over in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. So anyone in Christ is connected to Abraham, and God says, I will prosper you as I promised Abraham, so that my word will be confirmed, which I gave to him. Hallelujah. And the Message translation puts it this way, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 to 18. It says, if you start thinking to yourselves, I did all this and all by myself, I am rich, it's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant he promised to your ancestors as it is today. So this covenant he promised to our father Abraham. So God is saying, when abundance comes to your life, like some of you already living in it, he said, don't forget, I'm the one who gave you the strength. I'm the one. It's not your wisdom, because there are those who are wiser than you who don't have what you have. It's not your academic qualification. There are those who are more qualified than you who are not occupying the position you occupy in the marketplace. It is not because you are strong. There are those who are stronger than you who don't have access to the kind of things you have access to. You say, remember, I am the one, and I did it not because of you. I did it because I already had an agreement with your father Abraham. So I'm only fulfilling my own part of the agreement. That tells me you can never walk in lack anymore in your life, in the name of Jesus, because the agreement is not even between you and him. The agreement is between him and Abraham, and strengthened in Christ. Hallelujah. Let me stick to my notes. Hallelujah. So this covenant guarantees ideas. This covenant guarantees divine positioning. This covenant guarantees that you will develop great skills that will attract wealth to you. So it is your heavenly father fulfilling his promise to you that he has made to our father Abraham. So friends, that means that you and I must completely depend on God. Absolute dependency on God is a very key aspect of our journey here on earth as believers. Even unbelievers who are getting wealth understand that God is still involved in it. They may not acknowledge God, but he's still involved in it. Hear me. For the fact that someone says, I don't acknowledge the oxygen, doesn't mean that oxygen doesn't exist. It exists. It exists. For the fact that someone says, I don't acknowledge the law of gravity, it exists. They just don't even need to go far. Just climb this roof and jump. The law will be activated immediately. It exists. So when unbelievers don't acknowledge God in their world and they keep claiming that they are self-made man, it doesn't change the fact that God is the one involved in every man's world on the planet Earth. Now, lack of knowledge of something doesn't mean lack of existence. Lack of knowledge of something or acknowledgement of something doesn't mean lack of existence. Someone may not acknowledge God in what is happening in their life, but it doesn't mean that God is not involved in it. How do I know? The Bible paints a picture for us in Matthew chapter 5 verse 45. It says that you may be sons of your father in heaven, for he makes his son rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. The wicked may not acknowledge that the sun over their head is the goodness of God, and that the rain that falls on their labor is the goodness of God, but that doesn't cancel out the fact that God is still involved in whatever happens in their life. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Amen. So you and I, we are not like that. We know it is God who has been good to us. And because you know God has been good to you, I want you to lift your voice this morning and just celebrate him. Give him praise for everything he has done in your life. Give him praise for everything he has given to you. Give him praise for everything. Remember where you used to be and where you are today. My friends, celebrate the goodness of God. For if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. But thanks be to God who has not given us as a prey to the teeth of our enemies. Father, we thank you as a church for how far you have brought us. We remember the days when we used to struggle to pay 7,300 rands. Ah, as a rent, we give you praise. We celebrate you, how far you have brought us. We thank you. Hallelujah. So hear this, friends. The reason God blesses you is not for competition. The reason God blesses you is not for you to show off. It is because he has a mission and a purpose. It is because he has a mission and a purpose. He blesses you for his mission and for his purpose. So the reason why he blesses us is because of his mission and his purpose. He has a mission, a purpose, and he invites you and I to become part of it. That is why any believer who forgets the purpose of divine provision, they risk becoming a slave to money. When a believer forgets the purpose of divine provision, they risk becoming a slave to money. And that is how many have become slaves to money. Many Christians have become a slave to money because they have forgotten the reason for divine provision in their life. They think that God has provided for them so that they can show off and oppress others. And God is saying, the reason for my provision in your life is because I want you to be on a mission for me. I pray for you. You will be on a mission for God in the name of Jesus. What then is the purpose of money? Quickly, number one, money is a tool, not a destination. Whatever money goal you have set for yourself, that goal is not a destination itself. When most of us came into this year, we had money goals for ourselves. Some had money goals that by the end of the year, my business should have made a turnover of 5 million, 10 million, 11 million, 20 million, 100 million, or how many thousands, depending on whatever your money goal was. Whatever your money goal is, understand that money is not a destination itself. Money is not a destination. Because if you think money is a destination, the deception behind it is that when you get there, you will aim for more. When you get there, you will aim for more. You will keep aiming for more and more and more. And later you discover that there is no end to the quest of amassing wealth. There is no end to it. There is no end to it. That is why many are greedy. Because when they get to a destination, they keep aiming for more and more. And they discover there is no end to the quest for amass wealth. And the danger also is many never get to stop to ask the question, what is this all about? All of this that God is bringing into my life, what is it all about? What is it all about? Is it for me to become more reckless? Is it for me to become more rebellious? Is it for me to become more disobedient? Why is God bringing all of this money into my life? He's not bringing all this money into my life for me to become more rebellious and more wicked and more reckless. No, he's bringing all of this because of a mission. He has a mission. He has a mission. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number two, what is the purpose of money? Number two, money is not a definition of success. Society has painted a picture for you and I that if you have money, you are successful. And in our world today, people are said to be successful simply because of the size of their bank balance and the amount of material possession that they have. Because that has become the definition of success. Money has become the definition of success in our world. And you and I must understand that money is not a definition of success. And that is why you see, you know, when you go to social media platforms, people keep flaunting what they have. Because if you don't flaunt, people will never recognize or see you as successful. So that's why we flaunt. We flaunt all that we have because we need to show to others, I've also arrived. Me too, I'm doing well. Abba. So we flaunt it. Because people need to see you that you're being successful. And yet, money is not the definition of success. Money is not a definition of success. Material acquisition is not a definition of success. Because someone drives a Rolls Royce doesn't mean they're successful. You need to correct that mindset or else you will never walk in through success. Money is not a definition of success. Society paints that picture, but that is not. If money is a definition of success, then it doesn't mean that armed robber out there that is killing people, taking what doesn't belong to them, it means they are successful. That cash heist jacker out there means they are successful. That corrupt official out there means they are successful. But money is not a definition of success. Hallelujah. If money is a definition of success and fulfillment, then it means every rich person should never be frustrated. And you and I know that there are many millionaires, billionaires out there who are suicidal, who are frustrated, who have no peace. Who have no peace. Why? Because money is not the true definition of fulfillment. What then is the definition of success? What then is the definition of success? Real definition of success is the achievement of purpose. That is to say, achieving the purpose for which you were created. Number three, what is the purpose of money? Number three, money is not the most important thing. I didn't say that money cannot buy everything. Money answereth all things, but money is not the most important thing. There are some things that are more important than money. Peace is more important than money. Purpose is more important than money. Fulfillment in life is more important than money. Being a blessing is more important than money. It's more important than just having money. When greed takes over a person's life, they focus only on acquisition rather than being a blessing. They focus only on acquisition rather than being a blessing. There are those whose life is not a blessing. They have so much that they are not a blessing to anyone. And I jokingly made a, made a remark in the first and second service that they are not a blessing to anyone, to the point even the aunt in their house, they are not a blessing to the aunt in their house. They find the aunt in their house eating the sugar in the house, they kill it. That's how they are not a blessing. They find the ant. They take their flip-flop with holy anger. They are beating the ant. My friend, calm down. It's only a grain of sugar. The ant in your house should be able to celebrate Jesus. Sometimes leave grains of sugar for the ants to enjoy life. Habba. Amen. That's how much they are not a blessing to anybody. They are not a blessing to anything. And you and I must understand, being a blessing is more important than money. Money is not more important than being a blessing. Hallelujah. There are people that their family can't enjoy part of God's blessings in their life. You are always penny pinching in the name of being frugal. You are always penny pinching. You have used your frugality to remove God out of your life. Every time I'm on a budget. Even the minister of finance doesn't budget like you. What is it? You're always on a budget. Only you. Before you buy anything, you bring a calculator. You get to the queue where we're picking item. You arrive there. You're bringing out your list to compare checkers price, shop right, pick and pay. Which one is cheaper? Frugality. You're calling it, some of us, we don't waste money. It's a lie. You must be a blessing to people around you. Some of you are looking at me. I think most people in this third service, you're the one I'm talking to. I tell you. Nobody is feeling the impact of divine provision in your life. That is not how to be a disciple of Christ. Listen, friends, those who worry about their needs often yield to the temptation to serve money. Those who worry about lack often yield to the temptation to serve money. The question you must ask yourself is, have I become a slave to what I have? Have I become a slave to what I have? Have you become a slave to what you own? Are you obsessed with protecting what you have? Or are you trusting God to protect what He has given to you? If you think that what you have, you end it with your own power, that is when you will be obsessed in protecting it. That's when you'll be obsessed in protecting it. Hallelujah. Understand that God wants you and I to be a blessing. It's more important than just having money. Be a blessing. If your life is about what you have, then you will be so obsessed by it that you will remove God from the equation. But if it is about what you have received, then your faith will be on the one who gave it to you in the first place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Jesus your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Please lift your voice. Thunder after me. Say, all that I am and all that I have and all that I will ever have, I have received from God. Give the Lord your praise one more time. Oh, yes. So people must feel the impact of Jehovah's provision in your life. People around you must be able to go to God in prayer as a father. I thank you for Joseph. Ah, God, keep blessing him. Not when people will go to buy something for you. 2 rand change, you collect it. You're checking the receipt. What's your problem? You're checking the receipt. Wait, don't go too far. Let's check. Milk is 2 rand. No, don't do that. Be a blessing. People should call your name and they smile. People should mention your name and they smile. Like they are sleeping in their dream, they are just smiling. Because of your name that rings in their head on how you have been a blessing to them. I pray for you. You will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. You are blessed to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. I say you are blessed to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. You're blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Never forget God is the giver of all good things. Never forget that. This is one question you must ask yourself. Am I serving money or is money serving me? The Messiah warned us, Jesus warned us not to serve money, but rather that money should be our servant. How do you know that you are serving money? Very clear on how to know. How do you know that you are serving money? This is how to know that you are serving money. When money starts to be the only reason why you make important decisions, that tells me you are a servant to money. When money is the reason why you make important decisions, there are some people, the decision on who to be friends with is based on money. If you don't have money, you can't be their friend. The decision on who to marry, money is the number one. They are looking for a wife. They are looking for a rich woman. They are looking for a man. They are looking for a rich man. The first thing they ask is the man, what are you driving? My friend, what are you two driving? What are you driving? I can't marry a man who doesn't drive a Mercedes. Does your father have one? What kind of a life is that? That the only thing that drives your decision is money. If money is not involved, you can't make any good decision. Even when it comes to the kind of where many have left their place of assignment because of money. I'm not saying that when offer comes for you to upgrade your living, you shouldn't accept it. But sometimes, probe it. Make sure God is involved in it. Many have gone to cities they have no business going to because of money. Many have taken their journey to a far country because of money. And they get there, they discover that they lose everything. They lose fulfillment, they lose joy, they lose everything. Because money has become a master to them. They are not served. I pray for you, you will not serve money in the name of Jesus. Money will serve you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I know it's good to earn well. I'm not saying you shouldn't earn well. Earn well. Be well compensated for the value you bring to the marketplace. But hear me, if money is the only reason why you have taken all the jobs you have taken, then you're on the wrong path. If the reason why you have taken all the jobs you have taken is because of money, you're on the wrong path. There are people who change up to 5-6 jobs in within 2 years. Every time they get an offer, just 2,000 rand extra, they change. No stability, no consistency. And you discover that the 2,000 rand goes in tax. I'm serious. You all know now. The tax man collects the 2,000 rand. You discover that at the end of the day, only 300 rand came to you. Now you have left a place of divine assignment because of 300 rand extra. Hallelujah. So if all your decision is based on money, it tells me that you are serving money. When you can cut corners to make quick money, you are serving money. When you can betray anyone to make quick money, you are serving money. This means you don't have a mind of your own again in Christ. It means you no longer obey the scriptures. It means you are not ethical again. Many are no longer ethical in their dealings. They are no longer ethical. They can do anything for money. They can do anything. They can just do anything for money. Anything. Anything. It means The money is what moves you. The driving force behind your life is money. And I pray for you. May you not come under that oppression in the name of Jesus. There are people who money determines when they sleep and when they wake up. Many have allowed money to open up a door to the spirit of mammon in their lives. And the Bible puts it this way. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9 to 10. Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown them in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, let me correct this. He didn't say being rich is the issue. No. He said the love of money is the bane of contention here. So when he says the love of money, it means many are subservient to money. That is to say, the moment money starts determining your decision, you have opened up the door to the devil. The moment money determines your decision, my friend, you're on a wrong path. You're on a dangerous path. Money should not decide or determine your decision. Hallelujah. So he said here that for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Greed. So being rich is not the issue, but the love of money. So child of God, you are not created to serve money, you are created to serve God. Then God gives you money, then you serve God with the money he has given to you. Thunder after me, I will serve God with my money. I didn't hear say, I will serve God with my money. Money is a tool. Money is a tool in your hands and must not become your master. You must master money and use it to fulfill destiny and fulfill purpose under God. You must be on a mission for God. You must be mission-minded so that your money can also be on a mission with you. If you're not mission-minded, your money will not be on a mission with you. Jesus speaking to us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here Jesus is showing to you and I that heart and treasure go together. Heart and treasure, they are like hand in glove. Heart and treasure go together. That is, your treasure is the GPS. Your heart follows the direction of your treasure. That is to say, you cannot put your heart somewhere else and your treasure elsewhere. It's not possible. Your heart follows the direction of your treasure. If you want to check the priorities of your life, check the direction of your money. Just check. If you want to check the priorities of your life, if you want to check where your heart is, it's a very simple thing to do. Get home today, pull your bank statements, and check where your money has flowed to. That's where your heart is. Go and protect that place. Amen. Check where your money has gone to. Because heart and treasure are like hand in glove. If you tell me that your family is a priority or your heart is in your family, and I pull out your bank account statement and there is no amount that has gone from your account towards resourcing your family, you are telling me that your wife is my priority. My children, I love them. They are number one in my life. And the direction of your money didn't go in resourcing them. My brother, you're a liar. Your wife is not a priority. Your children are not a priority. Something else is your priority. Because if your wife is your priority, your children are a priority, I should be able to see how your money is resourcing their life. That you cannot pull out your account and we see that we check. You know, if you go to my account, it's transfers. Zoe, Daniel, Zoe, Daniel, Zoe, Daniel, Zoe, Daniel. Ha! The other day, Zoe, Daniel. Papa, just send me something there quickly. I'm about to, Daniel, just send me a message. Papa, I'm about to enter the shop. Just send me something quickly, quickly, so that, you know, I can get something. Pia. Because that's where my heart is. Hallelujah. If your family is your priority, if your family is priority to you, then your money must flow in that direction. You cannot say God is a priority to you. And when we pull out your bank account, we can't see a trace of it. And you tell me God is a priority to you. That we can look at your account from the first day of the month to the last day of the month. We cannot see substantial thing that have moved from you towards God. And you're still arguing in the New Testament. Should we be giving or not giving? Let me not go there. Let's just leave all of those things. Not necessary. We can't see. And you tell me God is a priority. A whole you. We pull your account. It's 20 rand that entered into God's account by mistake. Even you're still crying over it. Because you wanted to give 10 rand. You didn't know how you pressed 2. It became 20. You almost asked us for refund. It's just like you don't know where to start from. But that's why we can give you a refund. It's not a problem. And you tell me God is a priority. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? I know you are. Some of us, the way we carry ourselves, you know, when it comes to the things of God, you can see that the kingdom of God is just an appendix. It is not a priority. Let me give you an example. Let's assume, you know, they come and tell you now that Mall of the North is on fire. You will feel sympathy. Will you rush there now? Are you a firefighter? You won't go there now. What are you going there for? But let's assume you know that your child was going to Mall of the North. And they tell you Mall of the North is on fire. What will you do? You will be there immediately. Why? Your child is your treasure. It's there. And your heart, you can't. Like, I can't. Even if they are telling you the fire is under control, everybody is safe. No way. If you're like me, no way. Everybody is safe or not. That's not my business. I must see my child. I will be there. Why? Because where your treasure is, your heart will be. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So when your heart is into something, you will give your treasure towards it. God wants you and I to be on a mission for him, and our resources must also be on a mission for him. Jesus continued. Let's move quickly and close it here. Jesus continued and said in verse 31 to 33, he now said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Some people are preoccupied by the basic needs of life, to the point money has become so important to them than anything else. And simply because they want needs to be met. Listen, friends, legitimately, those needs to be met. It should be met. But God is saying, leave it for me. That is my assignment. Leave it for me. It's my assignment in your life. Just focus on fulfilling my agenda and purpose for your life, and you will not lack those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things people are dying for, I will make it available to you. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows you need all those things. But seek first the kingdom of God. What does first connote? It means priority. First means priority. First means priority. Jesus is simply saying, prioritize God. Jesus is simply saying to you and I, the things that matter most must not be at the mercy of the things that matter the least. That is, when your priorities are upside down in life, you will create pain. When your priorities are upside down in life, my friend, you will create pain. The moment you get priorities wrong, you become a pain creator. You become a pain creator. Because when priorities are out of place, you create pain around you. You are in marriage. You don't prioritize your spouse. You don't prioritize your children. You don't prioritize your family. You will create pain in your family. There's no two ways. There's no demon anywhere. You are the one creating the pain. You're the one creating the pain. You don't prioritize your wife, your children. You don't prioritize anybody. It's just you, yourself, and I. You're behaving as if you're a bachelor. You create pain. The day you decided to marry, to say I do, that is when you remove yourself from the list of bachelors. Stop behaving like a bachelor. You go anywhere you like, you go, you're not accountable to anybody, you know, you're treating your wife like a property. You create, you can't have peace, so my friend, let me remove my glass. Listen, so many years ago, one of my mentors said to me, he said, marriage is life imprisonment. He said, you will choose how you serve it. You can either serve it with hard labor or you serve it with joy. I told myself, I'm not going to serve in marriage with hard labor. I'm going to serve it with joy. And ever since, married now for 23 years, going to 24 years, I've made sure that I'm enjoying my marriage. Is it that we are, conflict free? No. But I enjoy my marriage. Why? I chose to serve it with joy. Yesterday, I wanted to run. I woke up in the morning. I love to run. And my wife told me, I checked my time. 5:30. I wanted to hit the road. She told me, you can't go anywhere. I tried convincing her. She said no and turned her back. My friend, a wise man will not go anywhere, and I'm a wise man. What did I do? I entered the blanket and held her and I slept off so that I will not create pain. I choose not to create pain because I can go and run. By the time I finish running, pain will be waiting for me the whole day. That's how simple it is. She said, no, you cannot go and run. We are on fasting. You finish a heavy service the previous day. Your body needs to rest. Now, you go nowhere. I said, thank you, ma'am. I go nowhere. Did I die? No. Am I not alive? I'm alive. Between running and my wife, which one is more important? My wife. I can't run away my marriage. Well, how simple it is. Another man will have said, you are my wife. You can't tell me what to do. You see, I'm laughing. You will come back. Pain. Shaya. Pain. While me, I'm laughing and enjoying Jesus, you're crying. That's how life is. So anytime priorities are out of order, we create pain. When you get into a business partnership, you don't prioritize the values and the foundation of that partnership covenant, you will create pain in that business partnership. You are in the kingdom of God, you don't prioritize the kingdom of God, you create pain. Your spiritual experience will be painful. The moment you neglect priority in life, you will become a creator of pain because things will be strenuous. Can I ask you this morning, are you a seeker of his kingdom? Are you a seek ye first kingdom of God type of believer? As we go home. And one of the things that have blinded many towards God, towards God's calling for their life, is survival instinct. Don't allow survival instinct to blind God's calling and his agenda for your life. Worrying about your needs can throw you into a space where you start to serve money and become a slave to money. Friends, until you get the revelation of Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, you will never cease from worrying about certain things. Listen, friends, people don't worry over things because they don't have. They worry. There are those who are worrying because they are worrying on how to keep what they have. And there are those who are worrying to have what they don't have. And there are those who are worrying. So worrying is, it's there. But when you understand that God is Jehovah Jireh, he's the one who supplied it anyway. He will keep it for you. That no devil can take from you what he has given to you. There are those who are worrying that the way I'm prospering like this, will it not all come crashing down? No, no, no. When you know it is God who give it to you, he will preserve everything he has given to you. And I pray for you, the more you prosper, the more God preserves you. The more you go higher, the more you are preserved in the name of Jesus. You will never have a better yesterday in the name of Jesus. No devil will take from you what God has given you in the name of Jesus. Everything God has given you, it will not diminish. It will multiply exponentially in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. He will preserve what he has given to you. Stop worrying. He will preserve it. He is Jehovah Jireh. When you know God as a great provider, that revelation breaks the hold of greed over your life. It breaks the hold of competition. It breaks the hold of pain and lack of peace over your life. When you know that God is Jehovah Jireh, the revelation of Jehovah Jireh brings you into a full understanding of who God is in your life. You are able to align with his agenda. You are able to follow through with his mission here on the earth because you know he is Jehovah Jireh. And Jesus has given us a great commission. He has sent us to preach the gospel, to go and disciple nations. Now, what are the agendas of God? I'll just read it out and we go home. What are the agendas of God? These are the agendas of God. Number one, salvation of souls and the growth of his kingdom and the church on the earth. Number two, making disciples. Number three, healing of nations. Number four, restoration of life. Number five, breaking the bonds of darkness over our communities. And number six, the last one, caring for the underserved and underprivileged. This is what he is calling you and I to walk into. And you and I, he wants us to walk into it with our resources. Amen. Give the Lord your praise. Let's go home. Let's rise on our feet and let's go home. I want us to make this confession quickly. Are you ready? Let's go. One, two, three, let's go. I and my Father are one. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, every chaos in my life becomes a pathway. Because through me, the Father now walks upon the storm. Just as Moses stretched the rod over the Red Sea, I bring the cross stretched over every impossible situation before me today. I boldly declare that the cross has already divided what tried to block me. The finished work has already cleared what tried to stop me. Grace has already made a way where there was none. I do not stand before closed seas. I use the cross as a bridge. For what was once a barrier now becomes my passage to victory. Go ahead and give the Lord your praise this morning.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.